Hello, I'm Brandon House, and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. This is the first show of our fourth season. We want to thank all of you who listen to, watch, and support the Worldview Weekend Hour, whether it's through our national television networks, independent television stations, or at our website, worldviewweekend.com. Well, as we begin our fourth season, I'd like to bring you up to speed on some things that have occurred over the last few months. Some very sad news in one respect, but also glorious news for those I'm about to tell you about. In June of this year, Worldview Weekend lost two very good friends. And to be precise, we really didn't lose them because we know where they are. But they're not with us here on this earth. They're in glory. One of our Worldview Weekend speakers, Dr. Ron Carlson, unexpectedly passed away on June 16th, 2011. Dr. Carlson was one of my very closest friends. I first met Dr. Carlson when I was in seventh grade, when he came to speak at my church. And I remember looking up at him then, and I looked up to him literally and figuratively for many years. He was a very tall man, a man of tall stature, but a man of strong biblical character. And I remember looking up to him when I was in seventh grade as he spoke at our church on the cults and world religions and biblical worldview. And little did I know that years later that he would become one of my closest friends and a spiritual mentor to me, and that I would travel the country with him. And Dr. Carlson and I had the opportunity and the privilege to not only be friends, but to minister together. In fact, in the last couple of years, we ministered in over 35 cities together through our one-night free Biblical Worldview Weekend conferences. Dr. Carlson wrote the book Fast Facts on False Teaching that went on to sell 250,000 copies and is still selling today. He was featured on many of our DVDs, and even in this broadcast, we'll bring to you his last presentation that we filmed in Branson, Missouri. We filmed 2 one-hour presentations on why Mormonism is not biblical Christianity, and one on the uniqueness of Jesus Christ in a world of religions. We're going to share one of those with you this week. I'm so thankful that we're able to capture the biblical teachings of Dr. Ron Carlson on DVD and to make those still available today. Well, Dr. Carlson is someone I spoke with weekly, emailed with almost daily, and would pick up the phone and call regularly for advice, counsel, and encouragement. I can truly say that aside from my wife, Dr. Carlson was the one who was the most encouraging to me in the work to which the Lord has called me. And I will greatly miss, and have in the last few weeks, missed my friend, Dr. Carlson. I particularly miss him this fall as we travel the country, and he's not with us in the cities that he was scheduled to be with us in. Dr. Carlson laid down to take a nap on the afternoon of June 16th, just going to take a 15, 20-minute nap, and he stepped into glory. It seemed that it was a heart issue, and the doctors even said he probably didn't even know what happened. He just laid down, took a nap, stepped right into glory. So we had to change around some of our plans for the summer in June of 2011 and make ourselves available to be at his service in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And what a joy and a privilege to be invited by the Carlson family to not only sing at Dr. Carlson's funeral, but then to speak at the reception. And so my family and I traveled up to Minneapolis, St. Paul after the news of Dr. Carlson's passing to take part in his service. And we went to the visitation, and there, I believe it was on the 25th or 24th of June, and we're at his visitation with some dear friends of ours by the name of Jim and Barb Smith. Jim and Barb Smith have volunteered at many, many of our Worldview Weekends. They have been behind the table at our Worldview Weekends in Branson, Missouri. They've helped us set up and run the resource table and take it down for 7 years in Branson, Missouri. They've done this in Minneapolis for many years where they live. And they've done this in Milwaukee, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Des Moines, Iowa. Jim was an executive with 3M and retired from that job, but never retired from ministry. He and his wife, Barb, traveled the country with us as volunteers, helping us put on the Worldview Weekends to administrate what was going on. And Jim and Barb Smith met us at Dr. Carlson's visitation on that evening. And Jim and I and my son and wife and my other son and daughter had the opportunity to visit with Jim and Barb there with other friends. And little did we know that as Jim and I stood there in front of the casket of Dr. Carlson and talked about his life, little did I know that literally 4 hours later, Jim Smith would also lay down for the evening and step into glory. Needless to say, it's been a very difficult summer for us here at Worldview Weekend with this loss, both personally and professionally. I had the honor and privilege of also speaking and singing for Jim Smith's service. So we went up to Minneapolis thinking we'd be there about 26 hours. We ended up staying 6 days. And it was a good time for our family to be together, my children to see the brevity of life, but also to see the impact that one's life has on those who are left behind if they preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, and live the gospel. What a unique contrast between these two men who knew each other, who were with us just 7 weeks earlier in Branson, Missouri, as we were all together for the Branson Worldview Weekend and having meals together and even stayed to take in a show together at the end of the conference, take in the Dixie Stampede, watch this Dixie Stampede horse show and have a meal. And we enjoyed fellowship together. We enjoyed ministering together. And little did we know that our last time in Branson 7 weeks earlier would be the last time that all of us would be together as a group. As I thought about the lives of these two men, I thought about the fact that Ron Carlson was a public figure who had the gift of teaching. Ron Carlson had this wonderful gift of proclaiming God's word, being a teacher. That's a public position. Jim Smith had this wonderful spiritual gift of being a quiet servant. One was a public speaker, the other was a quiet servant. But it takes both gifts for the church to flourish. There are many spiritual gifts that the Bible speak of, and if everybody within the church would actively live out their spiritual gifts, then we could get so much more done for the kingdom of God. If we would all be the body parts that are talked about in the scriptures to fulfill the Great Commission, the proclamation of the gospel, it takes the public speaker. It also takes the quiet private servant that Jim Smith was as well. In fact, as I was thinking about why is it that we have lost, and we didn't really lose them, we know where they are, but why is it that the Lord called home these two men who were living for Him and had so much life yet to live? Why did God take them early? I've been hearing of more and more godly men that are going early in their life and in their ministry. And I don't know why God chose to take Ron Carlson and Jim Smith home to be with Him. I trust that God is sovereign and He knows exactly what He's doing. His timing is perfect. We may not know now. I do know we will know in the future when we get to glory as to what His ultimate plan and purpose was. I do know this, that at the service of both of these men, the gospel was proclaimed. And I know that their families will continue to carry on the biblical message of salvation through Christ alone. A friend of mine sent me this verse out of Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. It said, consider this. We don't know if this is why the Lord chose to take Jim Smith and Ron Carlson home to be with Him, but we are hearing a lot of reports of guys dying relatively young. Jim was 60, a month from being 65. Ron was 61. They were both in great health. Again, died unexpectedly. I'm hearing of other men who are living for the Lord, godly men, who are being taken home early, or what we would say is early in their life and ministry. Why? Well, maybe it's Isaiah 57, verse 1. It says, the righteous perishes and no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. My footnotes go on to lay out that one reason God may take people home to be with Him, what seems prematurely, godly men to be home with Him, is because He's sparing them from divine judgment to come. Now, what about the rest of us? If that is indeed is the case, what about the rest of us? Well, the scriptures are clear that even the righteous who are left here to go through divine judgment, if indeed that's what's coming, and I believe it is, divine national judgment, I believe, is coming on America. As I look and read the scriptures, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, Romans chapter 1, I believe America is now in the beginning stages of divine national judgment. And the scriptures are saying, I believe here in Isaiah 57, in context, that sometime the righteous man is taken. The righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Maybe the Lord spared them. But what about us that are left? Well, the scriptures are clear that God gives us the grace and the mercy and the strength we need to continue. But indeed, the scriptures do tell us that there are some that die because they are spared the evil that is to come. And maybe that's what happened with Jim and Ron. We don't know. It's something to consider. I do know this, as I studied the scriptures and was thinking of the life of my friend Ron Carlson and thinking about how he was a spiritual mentor to me, I turned to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and I began to read this, and I thought, this is just so appropriate when I think of Ron Carlson, because he encouraged me, he mentored me, he counseled me. I would call him so often. We would talk sometimes late into the evening. He had so much scripture memorized, would quote scripture to me to encourage me, to tell me, Brandon, I know what you're doing is hard and difficult. I know that you come under attack by people because you are taking on false teachers and false teaching. And he would encourage me to keep on. And he would tell me, I'm all for you. I'm all for you. And when many people have backed away from me because of the fact we've taken hard biblical stands, Ron Carlson never backed away from me. He only confirmed to me that I was doing what God has called me and really all Bible-believing Christians to do, which is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3, which was his life verse, the verse of his ministry. So as I was thinking of Ron and his being a spiritual mentor to me, I went to Titus chapter 2. Listen to what we read. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Now this verse is to older men who are to be an example to the younger men in the church. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. It goes on to say in Titus chapter 2, verse 6, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. That means sensible. Then it says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. That is my friend Ron Carlson. He was one of the older men, being an example and a mentor to me, a younger guy. He was 61. I'm at the time 42. And he was someone that showed a pattern of good works. He was someone that showed a pattern of being involved in the work of ministry, proclaiming the gospel. He traveled to 79 countries preaching the gospel, contending for the faith, defending the faith. He was involved in that pattern of good works. In the area of doctrine, Titus 2 says, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. And that's the way Ron Carlson was. In the area of doctrine, he showed integrity and reverence and incorruptibility. Sound speech, verse 8, Titus 2, that cannot be condemned. In all my years of traveling with Ron Carlson, and I traveled to a lot of cities, traveled to over 35 cities just in a two-year period. In all my years with Ron Carlson, I never heard ungodly speech come from his mouth. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That was Ron Carlson. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You know, Ron has a lot of people that have spoken ill of him because of his taking on Mormonism. He loved the Mormon. He wanted the Mormon to come to salvation in Christ. Taking on Islam, he loved the follower of Islam. He wanted them to come to salvation through Christ. He hated their false religion, but he loved them and he wanted them to come to Christ. And he always preached truth and love, reverence for all men, being as wise as a serpent, as gentle as a dove. And yes, he had those who would call him names and would attack him. Even on his after his death, some websites were saying horrible things and rejoicing in the departure from this world of Ron Carlson. But you know what they couldn't say? Titus chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that they had nothing evil to say about him personally because his character and content was so godly. May we have more men like Ron Carlson that will come alongside younger men such as myself and be spiritual mentors to them. I want to take a break, but when we come back from the break, I want to have you get your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And I want to look at what is the real gospel. Because I know that Jim Smith and Ron Carlson, one is a speaker, one is a volunteer who helped our conferences run smoothly. Both of them would want me to share with you in their death. They would want me to share with you the life that you can have through Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll grab your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We come back from the break. I want to share with you what I believe Jim Smith and Ron Carlson would have me to share with you tonight as we begin this, our fourth season that we're dedicating to Jim Smith and Ron Carlson, both who went to be with the Lord in June of 2011. I'm Brandon House. This is the Worldview Weekend Hour. We'll be right back. Are you concerned about the decline of the American dollar? Well, if you are, then we invite you to visit the website worldviewweekend.com and click on the banner for Swiss America, where you can order two free reports on gold and silver and receive a free DVD. You can also use their toll-free number, 1-877 1-877-864-1072. That's 1-877-864-1072. The folks at Swiss America will give you all the information you need in order to do your own due diligence so you can decide if investing in gold and silver is right for you. Did you know that the dollar today is only worth about 4 cents compared to what it was worth in 1913, the year the Federal Reserve was founded? Did you know that the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor has any reserves? Did you further know that Andrew Jackson from my home state of Tennessee warned about a central bank? In fact, he did away with a central bank in about 1832 and said, don't ever get a central bank again. He said, if you do, they will inflate the currency to enrich themselves. And then when their assets are at risk, they'll contract the currency and it'll have a ruinous effect upon America and Americans. Well, we didn't listen. And in 1913, we allowed our United States Congress to create the Federal Reserve, taking the power of printing and managing money away from the Congress and giving it to a private corporation. Well, the end result is today your dollar's worth about 4 cents compared to what it was in 1913 when adjusted for inflation. This is why we believe gold and silver should be an alternative for many Americans who want to protect their purchasing power, for Americans who want to hedge against inflation. Again, we invite you to do your own due diligence. And if you want to receive the two free reports and the free DVD from Swiss America that will help you do that due diligence, you can acquire the free DVD and two free reports by visiting our website, worldviewweekend.com, and clicking on the banner for Swiss America. Again, you can also call them toll-free at 1-877-864-1072. Again, 1-877-864-1072. Thank you, Swiss America, for being a sponsor of the Worldview Weekend Hour. The Worldview Weekend Foundation is a generous sponsor and underwriter of the airtime to broadcast the Worldview Weekend Hour nationwide. If you appreciate the information we bring you each and every week that's based on a biblical worldview, sound theology, and biblical doctrine, then we invite you to support the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Again, the Worldview Weekend Foundation helps us broadcast this program as an underwriter of the airtime. They're one of a couple sponsors, and we really invite you to consider supporting the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Their website address is worldviewweekendfoundation.com, worldviewweekendfoundation.com. You can make your tax-deductible gift there, and we sure appreciate your support of the Worldview Weekend Foundation, which helps us underwrite the airtime to broadcast this program. Thank you. Are you looking for biblical worldview books, DVDs, and MP3s, and curriculum? Then we invite you to visit our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. When you go to our website, just look for the link that says bookstore. And when you enter the bookstore, you'll find a vast assortment of books, DVDs, and MP3s. We even have a book entitled Christian Worldview for Children that I wrote a few years ago that teaches biblical theology and doctrine to children as young as 6 years of age. So we invite you to visit our online bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. I'm Brandon House. It's the Worldview Weekend Hour. Just before the break, I was sharing with you that our friend and Worldview Weekend speaker, Dr. Ron Carlson, went home to be with the Lord in June of 2011, as well as did our friend Jim Smith, a volunteer for Worldview Weekend, who worked with us behind the scenes with his wife, Barb, for many, many years. Both of these men were dear friends of mine, and we'll miss them greatly. But as I told you before the break, I know that Jim and Ron would have me today, as we begin the first program of our fourth season, I know they would have me share with you the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. And if you have your Bibles, or even if you don't, I want to direct your attention to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness," verse 19, Romans 1, "because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it in them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." What is this verse, these verses saying? Romans 1 is saying that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. People know that they're involved in ungodliness, violating the character and nature of God, sinning. Sin is what it is because God is who He is. He is perfect. He is without sin. And sin is violating the character and nature of God. Sin is breaking the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And God reveals His wrath against man and their ungodliness. And it goes on to say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. They know the truth, but they refuse to love the truth and be saved. That's what 2 Thessalonians says. They suppress the truth. They know what is true. They know it's wrong to lie. They know it's wrong to steal. They know it's wrong to commit adultery. They know it's wrong to have hatred in your heart. But men suppress the truth. And it says they suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Now, how is what's known of God manifest in them? Everyone is created with the moral law written on their hearts and their minds. The Bible says, Romans says, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, is placed on our conscience at the point of creation. This is why no matter where you travel throughout the world, people know that lying, stealing, committing adultery, hatred, murder is wrong. Their conscience bears witness that these things are wrong. God has placed his moral law on their conscience. Con means with, science means knowledge. They sin with the knowledge they've offended a holy and just God. So it says, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them. That's the moral law. For God has shown it to them. Also, he shows it to them through creation. He shows them that he is God through creation. Verse 20 of Romans 1. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. So people are able to understand that there is a God through general revelation, creation. But they're also able to understand that there's a God because he placed the moral law on their heart and their mind. And when they feel guilty, that's the moral law working. That is evidence that there is a moral lawgiver. If there's a moral law, there has to be a moral lawgiver. It goes on to say verse 7 of Romans chapter 1, verse 21 of Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So they suppress the truth. They know what the truth is. They refuse to love the truth, 2 Thessalonians says, and be saved. For this reason, God will give them over to this powerful delusion so they will believe the lie, and all will be condemned. All have not delighted in righteousness, but have delighted in wickedness. Look over at Romans chapter 2, verse 15. It says, who show the work of the law written on their hearts. Again, this is the moral law, the Ten Commandments, written on their hearts are their conscience. Who show the works of the law written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them. Again, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, written on their conscience, reveals that there is a God, that they do sin, that they are depraved, that they need to repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then look over at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What is this saying? It's saying the whole world is without excuse. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, written on their heart and mind, stop them from making excuses for their sinfulness. The moral law stops them from making excuses. Well, I didn't know. Well, I didn't know that there was a God, or I didn't know that was wrong. No, the moral law stops them from making excuses. They are accountable because the moral law has been placed on their heart and their mind. And the purpose of the moral law is not to save us. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. No one has kept the Ten Commandments. The Bible says there's no one good, no, not one. You break one of the Ten Commandments, you've broken them all. But the purpose of the moral law or the Ten Commandments isn't to save us. The purpose of the moral law of the Ten Commandments is to condemn us. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the moral law is written on our heart and our minds, our conscience. We sin with the knowledge we've offended a holy and just God. We are accountable. But in fact, you're even more accountable now if you're listening and you don't know Christ. You're even more accountable than you were before. Because I've explained a clear gospel to you. All of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the good news, the good news is that there is salvation through Christ. By placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, turning from your sins, and believing in the work that Christ performed on the cross when he shed his blood. Believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 9 through 10 says that it is godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation. I believe right now, if you're not a believer, and you've heard these words, and you will acknowledge that you've told a lie, Yes, you've stolen something at one time in your life, even of small value. Yes, you've looked at someone with lust that's equal to adultery. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving adulterer at heart. You broke one of the laws, moral laws. You broke one of the Ten Commandments. You've broken all of them. If you will acknowledge that, understand that you need to repent. It says that godly sorrow produces that repentance unto salvation. I pray that the Holy Spirit is even now convicting you of your sin and your need to confess your sin, to acknowledge your depravity, your sinfulness, and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know that Jim Smith and Ron Carlson would have me to share this with you because this is why Ron Carlson spoke for us. This is why Jim Smith volunteered for us. They believed in the work that we're doing at Worldview Weekend through our radio show, our TV show, our conferences, our books, our magazines, our DVDs. They believed in the good news of the gospel. And they spoke for us and they volunteered for us because they wanted this message to go forth. The highest tribute I can pay to Ron Carlson and Jim Smith tonight is to share with you what it really means to be saved, so that you, if you don't know Christ, may come to know Him through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, who will reveal to you your sin, through the moral law that's on your heart and your mind, your conscience bearing witness that you've offended a holy and just God, that you would have godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation, so that you might go to spend eternity with Jim Smith, with my friend Ron Carlson, and with myself when God calls me home. That is the good news of the gospel. I've shared it with you. You are now accountable. And I pray if you don't know the Lord, you will respond tonight. Because you know what? When Ron lay down to take that nap right before dinner, he fully expected to get up and have his meal and go about the rest of his evening. But he stepped into glory. Jim Smith, I saw him the night before he died. 4 hours later, he was gone. He fully expected to see me the next day at Ron's funeral. I fully expected to see him. I fully expected to be on vacation with Jim for the 8th summer in a row in the month of July. But Jim laid down and he stepped into glory. My friend, if you lay down tonight and you put your head on your pillow and you step into eternity, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will step straight into hell. But you've heard the good news, and I pray that you will have godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation, that you will be saved, and should you step into eternity tonight, you'll be stepping into glory. This is the highest tribute I can pay to my friend Jim and Ron, by sharing the good news of salvation with you tonight. I'm Brandon House. It's the Worldview Weekend Hour. We'll be right back.